If you have your Bibles with you, would you turn with me to Romans 13, verses 1 through 6? It's foundational scripture for a message I opened last Sunday entitled Leadership Crisis in America. Leadership Crisis in America. We're going to reread Romans 13, 1 through 6, so it's fresh in our mind. And then we also will be looking at Proverbs 29, verse 2. Proverbs 29, verse 2. I asked this question last week, but I'm moved by the Spirit to ask it again today. Why did you come to church today? Worship?
And hear the truth.
Hallelujah. That's what I want. I am doing the absolute best I can to obey my God. The message I opened last week is not an easy message for a pastor to address. But God didn't call us into things that are all easy. Sometimes we need to hear the truth, even when it stings a little bit. Right? So this will be part two of that message, and we won't get done today either. It's going to take next Sunday to be able to finish this message. I've got a lot of material. This is a topic that's not easy to address, and I don't want anybody having any misconceptions when they leave here. And from what I've found out, not only people that leave here, but it sounds like, I don't Facebook, but it sounds like a lot's been buzzing on Facebook this week. Anybody know what I'm talking about? I only know because somebody told me. Because I don't Facebook. But I preach Jesus, but I don't Facebook. Let's begin by rereading Romans 13, 1 through 6. Everyone must submit himself to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except that which God has established. The authorities that exist have been established by God. Consequently, he who rebels against the authority is rebelling against what God has instituted, and those who do so will bring judgment on themselves. For rulers hold no terror for those who do right, but for those who do wrong. Do you want to be free from fear of the one in authority? Then do what is right, and he will commend you. For he is God's servant to do you good. But if you do wrong, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword for nothing. He is God's servant, an agent of wrath to bring punishment on the wrongdoer. Therefore, it is necessary to submit to the authorities, not only because of possible punishment, but also because of conscience. This is also why you pay taxes, for the authorities are God's servants who give their full time to governing. Now, Proverbs 29, verse 2. Says, when the righteous thrive, the people rejoice. When the wicked rule, the people groan. And last week I asked this question, are you groaning yet? And I got a similar response, yeah, we're groaning. Let's pray again. Father, I just pray that you descend on us, that Lord, you will captivate our hearts and our minds right now. That, Lord, we will be open. Our hearts will be open. Our minds will be open to the truth. And that your Spirit bears witness to what it is that's truth. And, Lord, I pray that you put a watch on my mouth, that I would only speak the words that you have ordained this morning. Not a word more or a word less. And all to your glory and your glory alone. In Jesus' name, amen. Just going to do a very quick review before I move on. It's not rocket science to recognize that our nation is in serious trouble. The banking systems are teetering. Inflation is out of control. Our nation's economy, as well as the world's, is crumbling. Our infrastructure is falling apart and no money to fix it. And we are saddling our children and grandchildren with debt that they will never be able to pay back. as our national debt is climbing at way beyond a record rate. Whether you agree or not, we as a nation need to get back to biblical basics. This means that we need a restoration of godly leaders from the top down in America. This passage in Romans 13, this is why you don't want to just take pieces of scripture out of context, because you can get the wrong idea. Okay? Here's the deal. If you just read the first two verses of Romans 13, you get the idea from that, and this has been preached in way too many churches for way too long, that no matter who the leader is, you just submit to them. And no matter what they are doing, you just submit to them. That's the idea that you get from this passage when you look only at the first two verses. But that's taking what is really being said out of context. It is absurd to think that God would call us or command us to submit to an evil ruler that he didn't establish. It's absurd to think that. Absolutely absurd. Why do I say that? Well, very quickly, and I don't want to preach my message from last week over again, but I want to lay this groundwork before we move on for anyone that wasn't here or hasn't heard it. It says in verse 3, for rulers hold no terror for those who do right. Well, our leaders in this nation are holding terror for those who do right now. Everything that is right is being made to look wrong, and everything that is wrong is being made to look right. Can I get a witness in the house this morning? Amen. And so this produces a problem with what we see in the first two verses, doesn't it? He goes on to say, do you want to be free from fear of the one in authority? Then do what is right and he will commend you. Do you feel like when you do what is right, you are being commended today by the leaders? So then, would you say that God didn't establish those leaders, but man did? And Satan. Man and Satan establishes evil rulers. How did this happen? How did man and Satan get away with this? How'd they get away with it? Is God God? Is he still in control of all things? Okay. Let's think about what we did. We have cast God out of every public arena. We allowed the Christian people said nothing. We allowed them to take the Ten Commandments, the very foundation for law, out of our courtrooms. We allowed them to take God out of our school system. We've allowed them to remove God from all of the culture that we have as much as they possibly can, and the church has been quiet, and that's why this preacher is going to speak up, and they're going to have to kill me to shut me up. I have had it. Have you had it?
Yes.
It's time for Christian people to stand up and speak up. What is wrong is wrong. I don't care how often the propaganda says it's right. And what is right, according to God's law, is right. Goes on to say that The servant is God's servant, is an agent of wrath to bring punishment on the wrongdoer. Well, under the establishment we have now, the wrongdoers are being set free. And the rest of us are being locked down. I say no. We have God-given freedom. He gave us a free will. And God does not violate that free will. If we want to reject Christ and land in hell, He lets us, because He will not violate that free will. Is that true? He won't do it. He won't violate our free will. But we have leadership in this country that's violating our free will. See, with God and our free will, we should not be mandated to get shots that we don't want.
That's right.
And we have to look no further than the establishment that is pushing this, because they have been saying for years, as an argument for abortion, my body, my choice. But all of a sudden, it reversed. That's a little confusing. How many of you know confusion does not come from God? Confusion comes from Satan. There is no confusion with God. None. So I hope you're seeing, I covered that very quickly, but I hope you're seeing the point that I'm bringing. We can't just look at those first two verses and draw a conclusion. We've got to look the rest of the way down and draw a conclusion. And when you look at the rest of it in those six verses, you find out that there's no way that God established something that's that evil. He didn't do it. So how did it happen? We turned our back on God as a nation. We opened the door to this. And we need to repent. We need to repent. We have sinned against God Almighty. To tell you the truth, guys, I believe this with my whole heart. Until God's people, those that profess to be Christian, repent, this thing is not going to quit. It's not going to flip until people repent. I believe that with my whole heart. We flip 2 Chronicles 7:14 around all the time. It comes up at least once a year. National Day of Prayer. Am I right? National Day of Prayer. 2 Chronicles 7:14. We just love the idea of getting our land healed. I do too. But what opens the door to that healing is repentance. What I'm telling you is truth. If you know your whole Bible, we need to look at the whole Bible. I said this last week. We need to apply hermeneutics. Because otherwise we get all crossed up and we get ideas that are not right. Like thinking that no matter what the leader is, you just let them do what they want to. Like I said last week, here comes the train. Are you going to get on it? Auschwitz is the next stop. Now that led us to our first major point, which is the character that God requires in leadership. The character that God requires in leadership. And we only got through the first one under that heading, and that's godliness. Last week we got through godliness. He requires godliness. For example, Proverbs 16:12 is one of the scriptures we looked at. Kings detest wrongdoing, for a throne is established through righteousness. A king, a president, a governor, whatever the situation is. You're supposed to detest wrongdoing. We're not there! I personally think almost all of them ought to be in Crowbar Hotel. Godliness. Next one is wisdom. Now I want to look at Proverbs 8, verses 12 through 16. Leadership that God establishes needs to, they need to possess wisdom. Proverbs 8, 12 through 16. You know, the Word of God has a lot to say about wisdom. So we're not going to be doing an exhaustive study on wisdom, but we're going to look at a couple of key ones. And this passage says, I, wisdom, dwell together with prudence. I possess knowledge and discretion. To fear the Lord is to hate evil. I hate pride and arrogance, evil behavior, and perverse speech. Counsel and sound judgment are mine. I have understanding and power. By me, kings reign and rulers make laws that are just. By me, princes govern and all nobles who rule on the earth. Does this sound like what we have right now? Be honest. It's not what we have. Not at all what we have. So how can we possibly believe that God established this? Man and Satan. It's part of the judgment on this nation, and that's why we need to repent it so badly. And repentance, my friends, is not a haphazard, oh, I made a mistake. I'm sorry, God. True repentance is accompanied by brokenness. If there is no brokenness, there is no repentance. Not true repentance. Repentance has to be accompanied by brokenness. Listen, guys, I've shared what an idiot I was before I got saved with you all many times that have been around here a while. You need to understand, when I got saved, I spent a whole lot of time weeping like a 5-year-old girl before the Lord, just him and me, because I had a whole lot of repentance to do. And just when I thought I maybe had most of it cleaned up, the Holy Spirit would dredge up some more and I'd be right back at it again. Weeping before my God. So thankful to be saved. Are you thankful to be saved?
Yes.
Thankful enough to repent of the lousy stuff we've allowed back into our lives, even though we profess to be Christian, we allow the sin to hang around in our lives. It's time for the body of Christ to repent. The judgment of the Lord begins in the house of God. It doesn't start out there. It starts in here. Wisdom is the ability to accurately apply the knowledge that we acquire. See, knowledge, if we look at the Word of God, knowledge, it says quite a bit about knowledge too. It says knowledge in and of itself puffs up. Isn't that true? That's why when I've been at different pastors' conferences, I tend to shy away from the ones that are comparing who has the most PhDs. I don't have a PhD, but I do have J-E-S-U-S. And I also have the Holy Ghost. But it turns me off terrible when Pastor Jim, have you ever had that happen? Walk into a group and they're talking and you find out all they're talking about is either how big their church is or what degrees they have, and I'm like, I came here to expand my understanding of the Lord. Yes. 2 Chronicles 1, verses 7 through 12. 2 Chronicles 1, verses 7 through 12. Still looking at wisdom. One of the attributes that is required by a God-established leader. You can't talk about wisdom and godly leaders without talking about Solomon. Begin to read in verse 7. That night God appeared to Solomon and said to him, "Ask for whatever you want me to give you." Solomon answered, "You have shown great kindness to David, my father, and have made me king in his place. Now, Lord God, let your promise to my father David be confirmed, for you have made me king over a people who are as numerous as the dust of the earth. Give me wisdom and knowledge that I may lead this people, for who is able to govern this great people of yours?" God said to Solomon, "Since this is your heart's desire, and you have not asked for wealth, riches, or honor, nor for the death of your enemies, and since you have not asked for a long life, but for wisdom and knowledge to govern my people over whom I have made you king, therefore wisdom and knowledge will be given you, and I will also give you wealth, riches, and honor such as no king who was before you ever had, and none after you will have." Solomon asked for wisdom to be able to apply the knowledge that had been given. You either heard it or read it with me. Solomon was a true leader. He had a heart for the people, and he had a heart for God. Listen to me now. This is important. That love for God and that love for God's people made him ask for wisdom to be able to rightly lead God's people. That's a hard rule. Guys, that's a hard rule. He wasn't asking for anything for himself. And when God saw that kind of heart, that heart of gold, he said, "Watch what I do." And he said, "Because you asked for wisdom and knowledge to lead my people, and that's all you asked for, I'm going to give you all this." That's huge. Huge. The problem is with the leadership in this country now is they're lying and cheating and stealing from the American people to make themselves wealthy instead of allowing God, being righteous and allowing God to bless them. Somebody ought to. Somebody ought to say amen in the house. Because that's what's happening. So leadership established by God, it was required that there's godliness, it's required that there's wisdom. Oh, this one's going to set you on fire. The third one is honesty. About all I can do with that is throw my hands up. You know why. But we're going to look at Scripture. Because at the end of the day, it don't matter what I say. It matters what God's Word says. Proverbs 16, verse 10. Proverbs 16, verse 10. Verse says, the lips of a king speak as an oracle, and his mouth should not betray justice. Boo! Truth bomb! Is that what we see today? What I see is injustice in what is done and spoken in the leadership in this country now. I don't see any honesty. Read my lips. We'll leave no one behind in Afghanistan. What do you think all of the families that have people stranded over there, and probably a bunch of them are not alive anymore? What do you think they think? What do you think the families are thinking about the military planes when they pulled out and actually left with empty planes, with people outside the gates of the airport being stopped and left them behind? Put yourself in the place of those people. Contractors that were over there working for our government, helping, and they were left behind to be at the mercy of the Taliban. That's just one very recent example. Want another one? Do I look like a socialist? I think you might know who said that. It was during the elections. Do I look like a socialist? Sure looking like one now! Proverbs 16:13. Kings take pleasure in honest lips. They value a man who speaks the truth. Is that what we're living today? It is laughable. It's so sad, it's laughable. But see, this is the guideline from the Word of God for leadership that is established by God. Are you guys starting to pick up what I'm putting down? We can't just take those two verses, the first two verses in chapter 13 of Romans, and say, oh, well, I'm just called to obey. Not this guy. I will not submit to a godless leader. I won't do it. Won't do it. And God did not call me to. And He didn't call you to. Proverbs 17, verse 7. Proverbs 17, verse 7 says, arrogant lips are unsuitable to a fool. How much worse lying lips to a ruler? Can you even find any truth in mortal? It is very, very hard to to find a morsel of truth. We've got this, in our state, a mass exodus going on out of Illinois right now. There's a lot of signs around that aren't very favorable to Mr. Pritzker. Things I can't say in the pulpit. Why? Because he's part of the establishment that is bent on destroying this nation.
Yes.
And he is bent on destroying this state and locking us down constantly. If we don't put a stop to this, he will have us locked down forever.
Yes.
Not this church.
Amen.
Not this church. I can always tell when he's lying. God's given me a really deep discernment for that. His lips are moving. How do we end up with a governor that has an address in this state but doesn't even live here? Spends most of his time at a ranch in Wisconsin. Maybe some of you don't even know this. He don't even live here. He don't even live under his own mandates. He goes to Wisconsin to his ranch, and they have great big parties, and nobody even wears a mask. Did you know that when you're raising children or in any other area of life, there's something that don't work for a pastor, or for a parent, or for a leader of any kind? Don't do what I do, do what I say.
Yeah.
It don't work. It don't work. And that's what we're seeing. While we were under lockdown, Pelosi went and got her hair done. How many of you saw that? There was a lot of scuttlebutt about that. There should have been.
Yeah.
Don't do what I do. Do what I say. It don't work. The American people have about had enough.
Yeah.
And I'm glad. Because it's time for the American people to rise up, stand up, and speak up, and say no. Because we still live in a free nation that God established as a free nation, and we still are under the Constitution of the United States, even if they are ignoring it, which they are.
Yeah.
They're walking all over the Bill of Rights and the Constitution of the United States. But we still are in a nation that has a government of the people, by the people, and for the people. And our governors, our leaders, our president, vice president, I don't care who you look at, they've all forgotten that. And I can't wait. I can't wait. See, I know, and he's not perfect either, but I've known for a long time since God spoke to me, Donald Trump is going to be back in, and I'm not talking in 24.
That's right.
This thing is going to flip. And you can look at me as long as you want to and say, that man's crazy. Whatever. I don't care. Once I've heard from God, I'm like a dog on a bone. And I can't wait to hear Donald Trump say one more time, you're fired.
Yeah.
You're fired! John 8, verse 44. Still talking about honesty. Boy, we couldn't skip over this quick. We've got to get back to where we have honesty in the leadership of this nation. In all three branches of government, Right now, all three branches of our government have been infiltrated. Do you realize that? That's why we're in such huge trouble. If God did not step in, and he's going to, at exactly the right time, if he didn't do that, we would be up a creek without paddle. That's just the facts of it. Because this evil is so entrenched in all three branches of our government, it's why they can't seem to get anything done. But something that the cabal has counted out is God.
Amen.
But God! John 8, 44. Jesus, these are Jesus' words, they're red. You belong to your father, the devil, and you want to carry out your father's desire. He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of lies. Guys, that's what we're dealing with. The father of lies is in a whole bunch of people. And it's why every time their lips move, they're lying. People that are full of the enemy of God always are liars. Because their father is the father of lies. We just read it.
That's right.
And then we have... I see them on TV. I see pastors telling people, oh, you submit to those authorities. Do you want a pastor like that?
No.
I would never want to be under a pastor like that. I've always wanted to be under a pastor that tells the truth. Even when it's not popular. You know, it's not real popular to tell the truth. I think it's getting more popular, though, because I see a bunch of visitors. I'm just saying. Give praise. Give praise. Next one. I got to move on. Fourth one is discernment. Discernment. You know, if you look up discernment in the dictionary, it tells you that another word for that is discrimination. Isn't that interesting? When we are so hypersensitive in our culture because of critical race theory, that somebody might discriminate. Well, God discriminates. Let's look at this. Proverbs 25, 4 and 5. Proverbs 25, verses 4 and 5. Proverbs 25, verses 4 and 5. It says, remove the dross from the silver, and out comes material for the silversmith. Remove the wicked from the king's presence, and his throne will be established through righteousness. Is that discrimination? Yes, it is. Is it righteous discrimination? Yes, it is. Is it discernment? Yes, it is. Got to have discernment to remove the evil. It's God's word, guys. It's God's word. Next one is in Proverbs 29, verse 12. Boy, there's a lot of morsels in the Book of Wisdom. Proverbs 29:12 says, if a ruler listens to lies, All his officials become wicked. Are we there? Yes, we are. Yes, we are. You guys, I'm looking out over the crowd. I can see eyes opening further and further. You ready for the next one? It's almost as hot a topic as honesty. How about sexual morality? Got two words for you. Bill Clinton. We are reaping the rewards of what he spoke all those years ago. And we have a lot of children in here, so I won't be repeating them. Y'all know what I'm talking about. And there are others. Proverbs 31, verses 1 through 3. Guys, this is an issue throughout every kind of leadership in this nation. We're not just talking about presidents. We're talking about every leadership. We are talking about leadership in the church.
Yes.
Sexual immorality has been tolerated for too long in the body of Christ.
Yes.
Proverbs 31, 1 through 3 says, "The sayings of King Lemuel, an oracle his mother taught him." This has got to be good because mom knows best. "Oh, my son, oh, son of my womb, oh, son of my vows, do not spend your strength on women, your vigor on those who ruin kings."
Yeah.
That's self-explanatory. I don't think I need to spend a bunch of time preaching that. Mom does know best.
That's right.
Mom got her gun there, right? Unfortunately, we are living in a day where sexual immorality has been almost expected.
Yeah.
Let me explain. And please understand, I'm not trying to attack anybody, and I'm not preaching at anyone. I am preaching to everyone. Keep that in mind. It seems we have vaccinations for everything now. We should not have to give our children at 12 years old a vaccination against HPV. This should not be a problem in our culture. I see a couple of head nods, but I don't hear any amens.
Amen.
And I'm speaking the truth. That should not be something that has to happen. And again, what are they using? Fear. Well, if you don't do this, your child, they even put commercials out there. "Mom, Dad, why didn't you make sure I got the vaccination?"
Yeah.
How many of you see it? So they're inflicting, working off of fear. Because what happens? Well, if you don't get them vaccinated, they're going to get cancer. That's the fact. If you don't get them vaccinated, they're going to get cancer. Not if they're not messing around, they're not. I have never seen anyone get an STD that wasn't messing around.
That's right.
And it'll happen. But because our culture just started creeping into the church. And now I see pastors that fall into sexual sin, and they're out of the pulpit for maybe a month and they're back in it. Oh, I'm all good now. And a while down the road, they're right back in the same trouble again. I see it all the time. See, it's time for somebody to tell the truth. This is not okay.
That's right. Amen.
God calls it sin, and we need to call it sin. And please understand, I believe in repentance. I just talked about that. I believe there should be an avenue for people that are truly repentant to go through a process of restoration, not for 4 weeks. And there be an avenue of restoration if there is true repentance there. Are you with me?
Yes.
Because we have to have that avenue of where repentance leads to restoration. Okay? And some instances that's not possible. But there needs to be that avenue there. I'm not against that at all. Sometimes people do stupid stuff and don't mean to. But that's not the case when it's been habitual. See, there's a difference. That's a different message. I can't go too far down that road. I hope you understand what I'm saying. Trying to draw some boundaries. See, somewhere along the way, we lost our boundaries in our nation, and that has translated into the churches, and there's no more boundaries in the churches. We have got to have parameters that say, this is sin, this isn't. What God calls sin is still sin. He's not a good old boy that changed his mind. Well, bless God, I'm a New Testament believer. You want a revelation? The New Testament is the Old Testament revealed, and the Old Testament is the New Testament concealed. Can't really take one without the other. It's why God gave us all 66 books of the Bible.
Amen.
Boy, I don't know. I'm looking at the clock. I'm looking at the next one. Can I do it? Next one is sobriety. Sobriety. Proverbs 31, 4 and 5. Proverbs 31, 4 and 5. I'm going to fall just a little bit short of where I wanted to be today. We'll have to go a little faster next weekend. I'm trying to take my time, though, because I want us all to get this and be on the same page. I don't want anybody misunderstanding what I'm putting out there. Sobriety. It's not for kings, O Lemuel, not for kings to drink wine, not for rulers to crave beer, lest they drink and forget what the law decrees and deprive all the oppressed of their rights. I got one for you I never ever thought I'd see. This is Fulton, Illinois. I grew up in or around Fulton, Illinois. I've been here my whole life. I'm not a pastor that's a transplant. I have lived here for over 64 years. And I never thought I would see the day that a pastor would put something in the paper explaining who they were. And include in that he likes to brew craft beer and invite everybody to come and have a beer with him when he's the new pastor in town in Fulton, Illinois. Well, yeah, this happened months ago. It was in the paper. I'm not telling you something that ain't true. It was in the paper. pastoring right here in this town, not in this church. I was horrified. I still am. I'm like, what in the world is happening to this little town of 3,500 people when it has slipped so far that we're hiring a pastor that advertises when they're brand new in the community, come have a beer with me. I brew craft beer. How many of you actually did see that before? Not one hand. Oh, you did. Okay. You did. Yeah, I know you did. Because I went bananas! Things were hot in the house that day! I really did, man. I was just... I still am. I can't believe it. And people are like, oh, he's so cool. I guess I'm not cool. Because I left that life behind me. Because I can't live that way and serve God. We're out of time. Y'all coming back next week for the next part of this? Maybe bring some friends? Let's all stand together. Father, I just pray your blessing over every man, woman, and child in this building. Lord, we have looked at a lot of areas in your word today, and we have sought out your truth. And I just pray in Jesus' name that your truth by your word will prevail in our hearts from this day forward. Lord, I pray that you will bring us back, you will keep us safe, and bring us back safely next week to hear the conclusion of this message. But Lord, only in the conclusion in the sense of me preaching it. But Lord, I pray there's no conclusion to the message because it's alive in us and it changes us, and that we stand up and speak, and don't submit to the evil rulers that are not established by you, but to rise up against them and stand for the freedom that you have given us. And we give you praise for it, Lord. Be glorified in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you all. We love you.